Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Praise the Lord! Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ and seekers of the truth. This is the 301st edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. And the title of today's message is The Key to Effectual Prayer. We're going to focus on that last verse out of Romans, chapter 11, verse 36. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Now, remember last week I mentioned that Paul moved from some really deep theology on Israel to this incredible doxology at the end of chapter 11. Now, a doxology, you may be scratching your head saying, what is it? Well, it's an expression of praise. And I want to share in this message how praise and prayer go hand in hand. And there's what I'll call a divine triangle right there in verse 36 that we're going to talk about today. But before we do, and this is how incredible the Lord is and how he moves. When I was putting this together, the Lord was showing me how there's like this incredible link between our prayer life and our worship life. And so I look up and I was thinking, you know, I should call Jackie and talk about this, because she came to Sozo's a few weeks ago and shared what the Lord's doing in her life with regard to worship. I look up and there she is. Her number is on the screen. So before we get into this message, folks, I just asked Sister Jackie, and I put her on the spot like literally 5 minutes ago, if she could just share what the Lord's been showing her concerning worship. And then I'd like to show you what the Lord showed me with regard to worship and our prayer lives. So without anything else said, I'm going to bring Sister Jackie on right now. Sister Jackie, you there?
Hi, everyone. I'm here. Hi, everyone. This is Jackie Evans. I just called in this morning. I've never called and listened to Ken's show on my phone via the phone line. I usually just do through the Blog Talk website. So I just thought it said call in the caller, and I just hit the number. Well, this morning, I just wanted to share with you what the Lord has showed me about worship in the past few months. We all know we're connected to the Lord through worship, and the Lord has given me a heart of worship. And through my journey with the Lord, he has showed me different things about worship. And the latest thing that he showed me is warfare through worship. The one day I was on my way to work and I was worshiping, and I heard him say, "Fill my churches with worship." And I prayed on that. And what I felt him leading me to do was to actually go into physical church buildings and worship, not to worship in front of a crowd, not to worship for parishioners to worship, but just to go in and worship in the building alone, him and I and his worship. So over the past probably 2 months now, I've been just going where the Lord has been leading me to. And I've found when I go in there, usually early in the morning, and I just go in, ask the pastor if I could come in and worship, and the Lord just takes over that hour. It's usually about an hour to an hour and a half. I have a playlist of songs, and I just go from song to song as the Lord leads me to. And what I found is that he's given me breakthroughs. He's given me words of knowledge. He's given me words for those churches that I've shared with the pastors. He's given me visions. I've seen an angel sitting in a pew as I've worshiped. And it has just helped my walk grow. And you know what? All I did was hear a small whisper in my ear that day. And you know what? You have to have the faith to go through with what you're hearing. You have to have the obedience to go through with what you're hearing. And when you do, you will just get confirmation after confirmation after confirmation. You're doing is for the Lord and ordained by the Lord. So I just wanted to share that with you all this morning, and just keep your ears open, keep your eyes open, and listen for that sound, and worship him always, for in his worship you draw closer to him. Amen.
Amen. Hey, Sister Jackie, this was this was a divine appointment, and I am just so humbled that the Lord moved on you. And I just want to mention one thing before I get into the message.
Yeah.
We're doing a series at Sozo's on Friday night. We just wrapped it up last night with Bill doing a message on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I mean, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. But last week, Becky did a message on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And she said, sometimes you just have to, when you get that move in you, you just have to step out on it in faith and obedience. It's like that's what you were saying there, and it's what we have to do. We have to step out in faith and obedience, knowing that we can trust him because his word is right and true. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and what he said he'll do, he will do. So I was just so excited when I looked up and saw you there. So praise the Lord. I hope this message impacts
me. Praise God.
And I want to mention my appeal to all you faithful listeners. I've seen a surge in the listenership. Now, I'm a numbers guy, so I have to get some statistics behind it, but I just want more and more people to know the truth, and I want more and more people to come to a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. So that's the purpose. Amen. And I just hope people are blessed by this, and I hope we can all become prayer warriors, and I truly believe that worship is the key to it all. So thank you, Sister Jackie. I'm going to just jump into this message.
God bless you all.
I'll talk to you later. Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.
So anyways, folks, I mentioned this divine triangles right there in verse 36. Here it is: for of him and through him and to him. You know, it's all key. It's right there. That's the triangle. You know, a lot of things work in the triangle. The Godhead is a trinity. You know, look at water. It comes in three states: gas, liquid, and solid.
you know, steam, liquid, you know, water itself, and ice. The business world talks about all kinds of triangles. You know, we have one there. They say you can control two of the three, quality, cost, and timing, but the other one has to float free. So a triangle is a very important thing. And, you know, this key, as I've seen it, to effectual prayer is summed up right here in verse 36. So in short, it's all about him. And this short doxology in Romans chapter 11, verse 36, is actually the entire theme of the Bible. It's his story, history in the making, you know. It speaks of the sovereignty of God Almighty, you know, who's brought everything into being. He controls everything, and he'll consummate everything. You know, his word is true. It's a yea and an amen, you know. You know, for him, through him, and to him are all things. So just stop for 1 minute and think about how awesome and truly amazing our God is. You know, think back on Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, how it all began. It wasn't a big bang. In the beginning, God, you know, that's for him. You know, he did it all for him, you know. And then in the book of Revelation, Jesus said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. For of him and through him and to him are all things. So, folks, it's all about Jesus. And this is true both in the spiritual and the physical realm. Just consider the physical realm for a minute, you know. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things are created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So right here, St. Paul's telling us how the Lord Jesus, he made it all. You know, he created everything. And not only did he create it, but he sustains it or holds it together. And ultimately, it all culminates in him. Now, this holding together, it's really exciting because the particle physicists are starting to say there's something holding this all together. And that thing that's holding it all together is Jesus. And when you start to dive into it, there's nothing here but energy. And what did he do? He spoke it into existence. And now he's holding it all together. So when you start to see these truths, it just gets to be so exciting. And that's what Paul's restating right here in Romans 11, 36. But notice it says, by the Lord Jesus Christ, everything came into being. So in other words, he's the power of creation. Jesus really is, you know. Just think about it for a minute. This thing that we call reality had to come from somewhere. Yet the scientists are saying, well, it was just a big bang. Well, the philosophers say ex nihilo, nihil fit. Out of nothing, nothing comes. So there had to be some prime mover, some first source, you know, and that prime mover is none other than God. You know, there's a scientist over in England that kind of gets it. And his name is Sir Fred Hoyle. And he's a leading astronomer over there. And he's a mathematician and he's in the British Academy of Science. And I'm going to read a quote that he said, because I do think he gets it. He says that we have to admit to ourselves that the probability of life just arising out of chance and evolution is the same as the probability of throwing a six on a dice 5 million times in a row. It just won't happen. Think about that. 5 million sixes in a row. It ain't going to happen, folks. So it wasn't chance. And then he went on to say, let's be specific and scientific and honest with ourselves. The probability of having life just spontaneously appear to this great complexity that we see in human life is about the same probability of having a tornado tear through a junkyard and out the other end create a Boeing 747 jumbo jet. So this was a great scientist, you know. And another one said that a random and impersonal chance does not create complexity and design. Yet we have Pope Francis saying that the Big Bang and evolution are truth. And God's not a magician. Well, yeah, he's not a magician. But he's over it all. He's in it all. And he sustains it all. So in other words, we couldn't have the complexity we have in our life. Just take the human eye, for example, by randomness and chance. Jesus is the power of creation. You know, R.C. Sproul wrote a book called not a chance. And in that book, he said that when scientists use this term chance, it's just a pillow to put their sleepy head upon when they're too lazy to really give it some good thought. In other words, let's just say chance, because the alternative could be too hard to wrangle with, and the alternative would imply some divine creator. So I tell you, Jesus literally is the power of creation, but he's also the preserver of creation, like I said. You know, he fuels the sun. And there are scriptures that allude to that. And he veils the moon in its beauty. And he's guiding the planets and the stars on their paths, whatever they literally are up there. You know, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26 says, "Lift up your eyes on high and behold all who hath created these things, that bringeth out the host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, that he might be strong in power. Not one faileth." So in other words, God's regulating the heavens. Jesus is not only the reason, but the regulator. He's the power and the preserver of all creation. Plus, he's the purpose, like I said, for creation. You know, that passage I read out of Colossians, it says that all things were created by him and for him. And that word "for" is a preposition, and what it means is motion towards an object. So people always ask, you know, what's this world coming to? Well, I'm telling you what it's coming to, folks. It's coming to Jesus. He created it for himself, and he's going to consummate it all. And he's going to do it all for why? For his glory. You know, this concept of a triangle, it's also true in the spiritual realm. You know, just think about our salvation. How's it work? How did we get saved? Well, some people think they earn it, and that's just plain wrong. And others say, well, it's a gift, but once you get it, you got to work to keep it. And sorry, folks, that's also wrong. The truth is that our salvation is of him, through him, and to him. Now, who came up with this idea of salvation? Well, God thought it. Who brought it about? Well, God, he also wrought it. And why did he do it? That we might know him in relationship and come to him through the power of the cross. That's the of him. We love him because he first loved us. That's what John told us. He sent his son. And then there's the through him. Jesus suffered, bled, and died. And then finally, it's the to him. When we forsake all, just put our hands up and trust in him. He draws us into himself, and then we can live with him forever and give him all the glory. So it's true in our salvation, folks, and it's also true in our sanctification. So how are we going to be more like him? For of him and through him and to him are all things. In other words, it's God who enables us to be more like him. So holiness isn't the way to Jesus. Jesus is the way to holiness. Just think about that for a minute. You know, holiness isn't the way to Jesus. You don't get to Jesus by being holy. You know, Jesus is what makes us holy. So, you know, it's of him, through him, and to him. And it's also true in our stewardship. Come on, just think about this for a minute, okay? Honestly, when you give an offering, okay, are you actually giving anything to God? Paul said in Romans chapter 11, verse 35, one verse before our focus verse here, "Who hath given to the Lord, and it shall be recompensed to him again." All that means is we can't give anything to God because it's already his, you know? So the way we should hold our possessions is with an open hand, not with a clenched fist. The Bible says, "Of thine own he gave, we have given unto thee." So it's true in our salvation, our sanctification, our stewardship. And it's especially true in our prayer life, which is the focus of this message. And I'm just so excited to share these truths with you. You know, remember, a few weeks back, I did a message on prayer, effectual prayer. And it's an understanding of this divine triangle that teaches us how to pray effectively. And the key to it all is worship. So if you're taking notes, just write down three things here. God's the origin of effectual prayer. And that means it's of him. He's the operation of effectual prayer. And that means it's through him. So the prayer is actually moving through him if you're doing it in a connected way. And then ultimately, God's the objective of effectual prayer. And that means it's to him, or he's the focus. And if we learn this, folks, I'm telling you, we have the key to effectual prayer. And I truly believe, like I said at the beginning with Sister Jackie, the key is a healthy and growing worship life. Now, God's still teaching me about this, folks, so don't think I'm some kind of expert on effectual prayer. I'm not. But what I'm telling you is I've gleaned these truths from his word, and now I'm trying to apply them daily in my prayer life. And honestly, I've never been very satisfied with my prayer life. So I'm studying in God's word about prayer, and that's why I did a message a few weeks ago about prayer. That's why I'm doing one now. I want to learn the truths concerning effectual prayer, because I believe they're the key to so much in our victory in Christ. You know, I used to think that prayer was just for grandmas and little kids. No, I'm tough. I can take care of myself. Prayer's for them. I'll deal with other stuff. You know, I believe prayer is the key to each of our lives. So let's look at the origin of prayer. Like I said, the origin of prayer is the purpose of God. It's of him. So the prayer that gets to heaven is the prayer that starts in heaven. And that's the key that we have to understand. You know, Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, where he said, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So in other words, prayer is not our way of getting our will done in heaven. No. It's God's way of getting heaven's will done here on earth through us. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we got to understand that the origin of this effectual prayer is the purpose of God. It's of God. It's all about him. Now, have you ever thought about this mystery of prayer? I do all the time. Why does God use prayer? You know, I'm telling you, biblical prayer is a very mysterious thing. And sometimes you just have to accept it on faith. Now, I've pondered about this while I'm working sometimes. I'll be up on the furnace at the plant, sweaty, and I'm talking to God, and I'm thinking, this is kind of crazy, isn't it? Or is it, you know? I'm talking with you, and I'm like, stand beside a furnace, it's 2,500 degrees, and I'm just wondering, why am I doing this? Why would I want to tell God what he already knows, you know? Why did God want me and you to ask him what he already knows that we need, you know? Well, he knows I'm having a problem with the furnace, so Lord, just fix it. I mean, if he already knows it before I ask, and he's a loving God, then why do I have to bother to pray? Well, I believe the Holy Spirit's led me to understand what I'm going to share with you. God wants us to pray because he has given us this privilege of working with him. I mean, Paul tells us that we co-labor with him, and we get to participate with him in the very regulation and administration of his creation. Can you think about this? This is humbling revelation, folks, when you really stop and think about it. We get to work with God. Remember, Paul said to Corinthians, we are laborers together with him. And that's all about fellowship. You know, he doesn't want religion out of us. He doesn't want us to follow a bunch of rules. He wants us to walk with him in a relationship, walk with him, talk with him, trust him. And so we couldn't do any of this without him. And it's a joy to get to cooperate with God when we labor with him. And that's the fellowship of what I'll call effectual prayer. And then out of that fellowship, we start to bond with him. So prayer is an effective way to bond with God. You know, he just doesn't want us to live our lives separate and independent from him. You know, if so, he had just given us everything we needed, and then we'd never have to ask him for anything and depend upon him or trust him in anything. We'd never look towards him. We'd just go on with life, you know. So there wouldn't be any bonding with God. So he makes us perpetually dependent upon him. And then we come to him and we ask him about having fellowship with him. And he wants to have us in relationship with him through prayer. So what he does is he disciples us, okay? And he makes us more like Jesus Christ through prayer. And that's a powerful thing too when you just stop and think about it. It's a key to the whole thing that I believe is necessary if we're ever going to walk with him and grow to be more like him. So anyways, let me get back on track here. Have you ever prayed and asked God for something and you don't get it? Well, of course we all have, haven't we? You know, there's that experience, and I think about the life of every Christian, you know. And you pray and you say, Lord, I really need you to do this. And what's he do? He says, no, straight out, no. Now, there's a lot of ways that God can answer prayers, and I've covered that in past messages. But you know the one I'm talking about where he just says, no. And then if you're anything like me, what do you end up doing? You say, so why didn't I get what I asked for? Well, as James says in chapter 4, verse 3, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your lusts, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? So remember, we're talking about how our prayer life disciples us or makes us more like Jesus. So maybe now you're wondering to yourself, like I have, gee, am I a friend of the world, you know? Do I have unrepentant, unconfessed sin in my life? Well, the Bible says in Psalm 66, 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, that means if I'm holding on to some secret sin and I'm saying, oh, you know, it's okay. I'm not going to let you go. This is between you and me. God doesn't need to deal with this one. So if I regard iniquity in my heart like that, hold on to a secret little sin, the Lord will not hear me. At that moment, the only prayer I believe the Lord hears is, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. I claim your blood. I want the blood of the cross to cover this sin and to cleanse me from that sin. I believe that's the only prayer he hears. So through this prayer life, I believe we're being conformed more and more to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ as we get our hearts cleansed and get into fellowship with him, that we might have our prayers answered. Now, isn't this awesome when you think about it? God's prayers, God's desire for us to pray, I should say, is a way of fellowshipping with us, helping us to bond to him, and then becoming more like Jesus. And when we understand this, the Bible's command, when we understand this truth, you have to understand the Bible commands us to pray. And that prayer all begins in the heart and mind of God. And how do we get to know the heart and mind of God? But through worship. So it begins with God, as Paul wrote, for it's of him. And that's the purpose of God, the origin of our prayer. Now we got to understand that prayer isn't just bending God's will to fit our will. It isn't, you know. Prayer is finding the will of God and getting in on it with him as we co-labor with him. That's the for of him. And then remember, we're talking about the origin of prayer being the purpose of God. So now let's start looking at the operation of prayer, okay? And Sister Jackie just texted me something. She's saying, oh, it's about worship, and I'll have to look at this later. It's interesting. It's very deep. Oh, it's concerning show number 301 and strong. My brother saying is what it stands for. Oh, this is God confirming this message. Praise the Lord. Like I said, it's all about worship. But before we get to that, I want to just talk about the operation of prayer, because not only is it of him, but it's through him. So not only does God originate the prayer, our desire, our very desire to pray, but he enables us to pray. So it comes through him in the person of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the key mover in our prayer life. You know, first of all, he gives us this desire to pray. In fact, in our flesh, we have absolutely no desire to pray. You may be saying, well, that's not true, bro, Ken. Well, I didn't say it. God did through Paul in Romans chapter 3, verse 11. There's none that seeketh after God, no, not one. And then the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 that the carnal mind is enmity with God, is not subject unto the law of God, neither indeed can be. And that means that our old Adamic nature has about as much desire to pray as Terry's standard poodle does to sit there and listen to classical music. And our dogs could care less. I'll sit there and snore through some of the most beautiful music. I could play this Handel's Messiah, and Terry's dog would just be sound asleep. But every time I hear that, it moves me to tears. So as natural men and women, we have absolutely no desire to pray. And that's because it's not a natural instinct. As a matter of fact, you know, this whole natural instinct in man is to run from God. That's just what Adam and Eve did when their spirits died and they hid from God in the garden. So we don't seek him. He sought us. Remember what he said to Adam, where art thou? So it's the Holy Spirit of God that gives us the very desire to pray. And that's the same person of the Godhead who gives us the ability to cry, Abba, Father, out of Romans chapter 8. So remember, a few weeks ago, we learned that that means Daddy, Father. So I'm telling you, folks, it's as natural for the Spirit-filled person to want to pray as it is for a little child to call their father Daddy and run up and just give him a big hug. Now, Abba, Father means Daddy, Father. So prayer through him is via the agency of the Holy Spirit. The Lord gives us that desire to pray, and then the Lord gives us the direction to pray. So how are we going to know what to pray for? Well, the biggest problem for most of us is finding the will of God in our prayer. Isn't that true? I know it is for me, folks. You know, the Bible says, this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask him anything according to his will, he heareth us. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. So as the Holy Spirit of God gives us the direction, then we begin to know how to pray and what to pray for. Now, people often say to me, well, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, Ken, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, we all know that that doesn't kind of settle at all. And that's because many times we want things that we don't need. Isn't that true? So if we just sit on that verse out of Philippians and we don't get our wonders right with God, things happen that aren't in accordance with God's will. And then other times we need things that we just don't want. You know, my dad used to say to me, Kenny, you need a spanking. Now, of course, I didn't want one, but I know I needed one because of what I did. And sometimes I believe it's like that. When we pray for things we really don't need, but we just want, and then we don't pray for things that we really need, but we don't want, like forgiveness, for example. Maybe somebody just hurt you really bad, and you know you need to be praying for the Lord to give you a forgiving heart. But what do you want to do? I know in my case, at least, with some of the stuff I went through with the business, I just want to wallow in that bitterness for a while. It feels so good, doesn't it? And how are we going to come about to the point where we pray for the Lord to give us a forgiving heart? Well, by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how it all works. So at times we want things that we already have, and other times we want things that we don't need, and sometimes we don't want things that we need. So what are some of the things that we already have that we end up asking for? Well, we may ask God to give us authority over the devil. Well, guess what, folks? Do you realize that you already have that? So how do we know how to pray? Well, like I said, by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus said, I will give unto you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Now, if we have that set of keys to the kingdom of heaven, if we truly have it, we really got something, don't we? Just picture this. Jesus said he gave the keys to the kingdom of heaven to us. Picture that in your head for a minute. The keys to the kingdom of heaven. You know, beginning in Matthew chapter 18, verse 18, he said, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again, I say unto you, if any two of you shall agree on earth as asking anything, touching anything, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So we got Sister Jackie and some other people listening right now. Guess what that means, folks? That means that Jesus is right here, right now with us. Right here. And remember, he was talking about prayer. He was also talking about binding and loosing. And I can tell you one thing, absolutely, with absolute certainty. This passage is properly rendered. The Greek scholars have no disagreement amongst any of them about what this scripture means. It's saying whatever we bind on earth has already been bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth has already been loosed in heaven. So there's no debate on what this means. And really, that means that we all need to go up into heaven and just see what's happening up there and bring it down here onto earth. And that's where the worship comes in. There's a pastor that I learned of through Pastor Adrian Rogers. Adrian Rogers used to love this pastor, and I think he probably listened to all of his sermons like I'm in the process of doing. His name is Pastor Manly Beasley, and he always used to say, success is finding out what God is up to and joining him on it. And how do we do that, folks? Through worship. So just find out what God's up to by looking up into heaven, lifting your arms, and finding out what's on the heart and mind of God. And you do that through worship. And then you discover what God's binding and loosing in heaven. And then by prayer, we can bind and loose the very same things here on earth. Now, be careful here, because this isn't some kind of name it and claim it teaching, okay? You know, there's a lot of joy boys on TV that tell you you need to just believe and you're going to have a Cadillac in your driveway. It doesn't work like that, folks. It's just lifting your eyes up into heaven and crying out, Lord, give me the insight into what's going on in heaven. That's exactly what Jesus did while he was here on earth, folks. You know, now Jesus is the absolute perfect human being, but he's also God. And never forget that there's this dual nature to him. He lived here on earth, not as God masquerading as a man, no, but as a man, complete and full, yet without sin, and utterly dependent upon communion and fellowship with the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit. So he showed us the way to do it. He veiled his deity. He laid aside his privilege as a member of the Godhead. And then he said, here's the way you do it. Jesus said in John 5:19, the Son can do nothing of himself. What he seeth the Father do, that's what he does. And what I hear is what I speak. So Jesus is saying, I'm tuned completely and absolutely into heaven. None of these things originate from me. They all originate from the throne room. I'm plugged in 24/7 that I am God. I laid that all aside to show you how to do it. Remember, Jesus is Son of God and God the Son. He is God in the flesh, yet he showed us the way. He said, I'm going to lay this aside for a season and show you how to do it. So he's getting all of his instructions from heaven. What I hear my Father say, he says, that's what I say. That's what I do. Whatever's bound in heaven is bound on earth. Whatever's loosed in heaven is loosed on earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So how do we get our prayers answered? Not by trying to superimpose our will on God's will. No, but by knowing what his will is and what's going on in heaven. And that's the reason what's going on in heaven is so important. And why I'm so saddened and why I was so excited when Sister Jackie shared that message several weeks ago about worship. Because I believe there's very little time being spent in true praise and worship in our churches anymore. So remember, I mentioned in the opening passage that Paul ended this part of Romans with a doxology, which is a short hymn of praise. And I said praise and prayer are inextricably linked. That's what I was talking about. And that's where I want to wrap up this message now. You know, I just want to say that most times we just rush into the presence of God when we're in our prayer mode. And we say, listen, Lord, your servant's speaking. And what we should be doing instead is after a time of praise and worship, there in the very throne room with him, we should say, speak, Lord, your servant listens. And I truly believe that's the key to knowing the will of God and understanding how to effectually pray. The key's a prayerful and praise-filled worship life. You know, we were focusing on the last verse out of Romans chapter 11. Now listen to how Paul started chapter 12, or actually the next thought stream, because there weren't numbers there when he wrote this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I mean, did you hear that, folks? I can almost picture God speaking directly through Paul as he's on his knees before all those who are listening to him, saying, I beseech you, therefore, you know, offer your lives up as a living sacrifice. Now, since all things are of him and through him and to him, what Paul's doing is he's just imploring us to present our bodies to God as living sacrifices. And worship is actually the way to accomplish this, folks. It's seeing the mercies of God and then coming to him and just saying, Lord, I'm awestruck by this. I'm blown away by it. I am your living sacrifice. Now, in the Old Testament, these sacrifices, they were killed. But you and me were alive. So we have to come to him and place ourselves upon the altar. And how do we do that? Well, in the Old Testament, when a sacrifice was offered up and placed on the altar, it was consumed by fire. And that same thing in the spirit realm should be happening in our worship as we bring ourselves to God, as we present ourselves to God and allow him to consume us. Now, God won't consume an unholy sacrifice. He won't. So when you place yourself upon that altar and say, Lord, not me, but all of you, here I am, Lord, I give myself away to you. This is all that I want. And all that I long for is to be your living sacrifice. There can't be anything else there. That's the key. Just lay aside all your wants, all your desires, and say, not my will, but thy will be done. And then afterwards, there's this consuming that occurs in the spirit realm. There's a transformation that occurs. There's a consummation. There's this unity in the spirit between you and the Godhead. And Paul says, when you present yourself in that manner, you're no longer conformed to the world. Instead, you're transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. And then what happens? Prove, or you understand, or it's revealed to you what is the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. And how's that all happen? Through worship. Just what Sister Jackie was saying. She saw an angel sitting there. We get a glimpse into the heavenlies, folks. You know, if you're worshiping as you ought to be worshiping, if I'm worshiping as I ought to be worshiping, if we spend enough time in heaven, then we'd know what's going on in heaven. And I believe when Jackie did that, she actually saw that there is an army. They're ready to assist us. All we have to do is say, come on in, bring in the reinforcements. And then we're literally able to bring heaven down from earth, which needs to happen right now in this crazy time. Heaven needs to be brought down to earth. And then we'd be able to bind on earth what's bound in heaven and loose on earth what's loosed in heaven. So when the Father invites us to do this, folks, why aren't we doing it? Why aren't we coming to Him and offering ourselves up as living sacrifices? When we do, we're going to do the Father's will. And we're going to do what the Father says we will. And remember, it's God who gives us this desire to pray. And it's God who gives us this direction to pray. And if you ever had an experience where God's directed you to do something, I mean, something very specific, and everything's lined up. Now, the world, they'd call that a coincidence. But I call that a divine appointment, like Sister Jackie calling in this morning and me picking up on the phone. I mean, a lot of times I don't even look up at the board before I start. I'm usually praying. I just looked up and I saw her number pop on. Isn't that awesome? So that's a divine appointment. And I believe it happens more often than not. And we've all had these experiences. I know you have. But I believe that happened much more. Like Sister Jackie said, you know, when she does these things in obedience, He reveals something else to her. I believe we could start living like that moment by moment. You know, divine appointment by divine appointment. And then we'd know what God wants to get done here on earth as we look up into heaven through our worship. And He speaks to us. Yet sadly, I know what so many of us do, and I'm guilt praying, Lord, bless this mess. Look at this mess at the plant. Lord, here's a list of things that I need You to take care of. Oh, and by the way, Lord, here's some stuff I plan to do, and I just want You to rubber stamp it right now. And folks, that's the wrong way to pray. Remember, effectual prayer is of Him, through Him. He gives us that desire. He gives us a direction. And He's also given us the dynamic. The dynamic of prayer is biblical faith. Sister Jackie alluded to that. Sometimes you just have to believe, you know, you just have to trust. And you can't make yourself believe either. You know, Mark chapter 11, verse 24, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. That's what Jesus said. So even our saving biblical faith is a gift of God. You didn't think that saving faith came out of your old sinful carnal heart, did you? No, it's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. So God even puts His saving faith into you and me. But we have to abide in Him and surrender to Him. And that allows Him to come in and move through us. So He put our saving faith in us. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now that hearing there is a special type of hearing. That's Rhema. So we get the Rhema word of God. That just doesn't mean me speaking the words and you hearing it. I could be speaking the words, but then the Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, reveals it to you through the Rhema hearing. That means that God's speaking directly to you out of His word. So that's the origin of prayer. Okay? It's God. It's of Him. And that's the operation of power, and it's through Him. And then ultimately, what's the objective of prayer? Well, when we're doing this all right, and we're finding out what's going on in heaven through worship. You know, the objective of prayer is the praise of God. It's to Him, for of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be the glory. So you got to understand that God's in this business of giving Himself glory, and He deserves it all. He's literally the purpose of it all. So the reason that so many of us don't get our prayers answered is we're not interested in giving God the glory. We just want to take away some hurt, or we just want to get something fixed, or, you know, so he's kind of like our handyman or our bellhop, or like our Santa Claus or our little genie in the bottle. And we pray, Lord, I want you to do this and this for me. And those type of prayers typically aren't interested in giving glory to God. But God's interested in giving all the glory to himself. So when we get in on that, we can really start to see how he plans to move and shake things. You know, he said in Isaiah 42, verse 8, I will not share my glory with another. And that's the reason James says, ye ask and receive not, that ye might, that ye ask amiss, that ye might consume it upon your lusts. Now, God does answer personal prayers, but he doesn't answer selfish prayers. So ask yourself, is the desire of my heart when I'm asking the Lord for this to ultimately give him the glory? Remember in a past message, we talked about the cycle of prayer, and I alluded to it at the beginning, you know, prayer originates with God, prayer operates through God, and then prayer goes back to God. Why? To give him the glory. Now, one way we can look at this is we could say that prayer says, please. And what praise is saying is, thank you, Lord. So praise goes into God's presence and stays there forever. And our prayer goes into God's presence so that we can carry something away and bring it back here to earth. The point is that the end of all things is not things. It's not, folks. It doesn't matter what kind of car you drive, what kind of house you live in. Things don't matter, but it's God himself that matters. It's all about him. So our hearts, they need to be consumed, not with the gifts of God, but with God himself. And that ultimately leads to the glory of God. Jesus said, ask in my name that the Father might be glorified in the Son. John 14, 13. So ask in his name. That's the key to effectual prayer. Asking in the name of Jesus that the Father is glorified, to whom be glory. So when we ask in the name of Jesus, that doesn't mean that we've got some little magic formula and we just have to tack in the name of Jesus at the end of our prayer. That's not what this means. Just because we put Jesus' name on at the end of the prayer, it's not some magic formula that's going to make it work every time. It isn't. Jesus said, ask in my name that the Father might be glorified in the Son. Remember, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory. So that's why we ask in the name of Jesus. We can't pray anything in the name of Jesus that's not for the glory of God. And that's so very important to understand. So we got to understand. And folks, that's why I call it SDG, solely to the glory of God. Think about it like this. Did you ever get up in the morning and just don't feel like praying? Maybe you have a dull headache. You ate too much ice cream last night or whatever. I don't know. You didn't sleep well, you know. You just can't get moving. You're all lazy. Come on. I know you've had it. I've had it. And you say, well, it's just praying now would be a joke. I'm not going to pray now. I just don't feel like praying. It just feels like my prayers go no higher than the ceiling in my room. So you go and you take some Alka-Seltzer, you know, you drop them in the glass, you know, that old plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. You know what I'm talking about? I was going to get the jingle for that and play it right now, but I didn't have time. So you drink down that Alka-Seltzer, and after a while, you're feeling pretty good. Maybe you take your Benadryl, whatever it is, you know, and then you say, okay, now I'm feeling better. It's time to pray. And you have a great time in prayer. Well, let me ask you a question, folks. Are you on any better praying ground after you took those two Alka-Seltzers or Benadryls than you were before? Well, of course not. No, you're not. Was God in those two tablets? Did those tablets make you more spiritual? No, of course not. My point is that God would have heard your prayers even if you didn't feel it when you prayed before. That is, unless you come there with your own agenda. But if you came in there in the name of Jesus, that God may be glorified, it doesn't matter how you feel. It's his name that gets your prayer heard when he's being glorified. So we don't need to understand this truth about effectual prayer. But realize it's not about our emotions. So we don't come to prayer with our hands filled with all sorts of emotional issues, you know. I always say liver shivers and crocodile tears. We come with our hands filled with the worth of the name of Jesus. You know, there's a sweetness to his name. There's a mystery in the name of Jesus. And when we come with that heart out of a period of praise and worship, the Father's glorified. Now, I got to share something with you. Usually when I share these messages on Blog Talk or before I go to Sozo's, not usually, but the times, and it's not as much as it used to be. You know, I get on my knees. I always do that. I always get on my knees and praise, but I notice that my prayer is changing. I used to say, God, I'm not ready. Lord, I didn't prepare enough for this. I haven't prayed enough. Have mercy on me. And sometimes I just feel so unworthy, just like I haven't done enough. You know, I was too busy at the plant, too much stuff to do around the house, so I didn't spend enough time in prayer and study before I share the message. And then one time the Lord just spoke to me and said, Ken, if you would have done all those things that you ought to do, do you think then that you deserve an answer to your prayers because of all that you earned? Because you did all the right stuff? Ken, you just don't understand it. It's not your sweat. It's my son's blood. It's his blood that earned it, not you. So my point is, we just got to surrender and come to God in prayer. Why? For his glory in the name of Jesus. And when you do that, I hope it dawns on you, and maybe it already did, but it has dawned on me probably over the last 6 months, that it's all about him. And I just realized that it's not my emotions or my work or how hard I prepared. It's not my sweat or my performance. It's all about him. It's his promise. It's his name. And then we can't help but to say, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Think about it. So just remember these keys to effectual prayer. The origin of it is him. And then the operation of it is through him. And the objective of it is to him. So he's the source, he's the strength, and he's the subject of our prayers. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is what it's all about, folks. Of him, that's the purpose of God. Through him, that's the power of God. And then to him, that's the praise of God. And that's where our worship comes in, folks. And when we do that, we complete this circuit, and then we can simply pray. So effectual prayer is just the Holy Spirit finding a desire in the heart of the Father and putting that desire into our hearts and then sending it back to heaven by the power of the cross. And there's a resulting glory to God. And that, folks, is effectual prayer. You know, there's a reason why so many of us are sitting on the distant shores of heaven. It's because our prayers are ineffective. Just remember, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. So how about this week's, folks, just doing what Sister Jackie said, just lift yourself up, lift your hands up in praise and worship to the Father, and then allow this effectual prayer to become the purpose of your week. And then I'll come back next week, provided the Lord's willing, with another message out of the book of Romans. And let's just see how it all works out, okay? Folks, I love y'all.
What you want me to, no empty words and no white lies, no token prayers, no compromise. I want to shine the light you gave through your son. You said to save us from ourselves and our despair. It comforts me to know you're really. Son, you've risen from the dead. Oh, to die and let you give your life to me so I might live and share the hope you gave to me. I want to share the love that set me free.